Hello, everybody. The bloody war in Ukraine goes on. Vladimir Putin is hell-bent on the devastation of Ukrainian cities and indifference to just how many Ukrainians he kills. Vladimir Zelensky seems now undecided as to what course to follow because each day brings more destruction and death to his country, his people, and any kind of peace agreement seems distant, remote, and perhaps impossible. And Western intelligence analysts say Putin himself is caught between a dramatically higher death count of Russian troops that is rising daily, while there are reports of dismay and unrest among the Russian people at home. A few military experts actually now claim that the Russians are unlikely to win their war against Ukraine. President Biden's phone call with China's Xi Jinping was unsuccessful. Senior officials say the Chinese president, in fact, told Biden to clean up his own mess, and there was no assurance forthcoming that China won't send military aid to Russia. Mr. Biden apparently warned Xi of serious consequences if he does. Welcome to the Great America Show, and thanks for being with us. This week, we also learned that President Donald Trump's attorney general now admits he knew that Joe Biden was lying to the American people about his son Hunter's laptop during the 2020 presidential debate. Barr told Fox News that though he was very disturbed, as he put it, by those lies, he obviously wasn't disturbed enough to tell the American people before the election that the Democratic presidential candidate was a liar and very likely part of the biggest political scandal in American history. With us now, a man who was caught up in that scandal, a victim of the attempted overthrow of the presidency of Donald Trump, a former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, Army Lieutenant General retired, and former National Security Advisor under President Donald Trump. With us, General Michael Flynn. General Flynn, it's great to have you with us. Let's start with Ukraine and the mess that NATO in particular is in and the inability of Zelensky to get a discussion face-to-face with Putin. Your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, I don't think that Putin has any time for Zelensky because I think he sees Zelensky as not only a puppet type a leader in the Ukraine, but also somebody who has admitted to things that over the last few years, admitted to things that we now know to be true. I mean, these various relationships with people in our that are relatives of our members of our administration, also some of the nefarious activities that Ukraine has been involved in, from human trafficking, drug trafficking, money laundering. I mean, there's an awful lot. And I think that there has to be a reckoning by the leadership in the European Union, by the leadership of NATO, which are not both, they're not the same. They're not one and the same. And people need to understand that European Union and NATO are two different organizations. One is essentially a governmental organization for trade and economics, and one is a security organization, and that would be NATO. So I think that if anything, what the West should demand from Zelensky is that he sits down across the table from Putin as two leaders who are engaged in essentially a limited war, as I would describe it right now. For now, they need to sit down with each other and come to an agreement on how to end this thing and end it soon. I mean, I've written about this, Lou, recently, and one of the big issues on the table is neutrality, the neutrality of Ukraine from really what has been an encroachment by NATO since at least 1990, if not since 1994. Right. And one of the big issues, Lou, is what's called the Budapest Accords, right, which was in 1994, which was an agreement between France, England, United States, and Russia at the time for no further encroachment against the you know, the Russian Federation. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of issues at play there. But those are the kinds of things that have to be discussed. If they're not, we're going to continue to see bloodshed in Ukraine, and the people of the Ukraine are going to continue to suffer.
10 million of them, according to the most recent estimate from the United Nations, have fled the country and are now refugees. A fourth of a country's population is a just a tremendous number for refugees. Let's go to the point that you were making about some of the questions that surround Zelensky and Ukraine, its relationship to the West in a number of areas. When you say that President Putin has no time for Zelensky, because Zelensky is a puppet, who's pulling the strings?
Well, I think that Zelensky is part of this effort, you know, with this whole reset that we're hear talked about by the organization described as the World Economic Forum. And when we think about how did Zelensky get into power? What kinds of things has he done while he's been in office? What have been the, you know, who is behind really the kinds of activities? And this is really not a lick on the Ukrainian people, because the Ukrainian people are terrific people. I mean, I know some, I've met some, I've been in conversations with many when I was in my military days, where we had people across tables and having discussions and all that kind of stuff that you'd have. The people of Ukraine are terrific. The sad thing that you just mentioned, 25% of their population are, you know, would be considered, you know, being displaced or refugees. I mean, so really the masters right now, and when we think about Joe Biden and what Joe Biden did prior as a vice president under the Obama administration, and some of the things that they were involved in, some of the things that we know that others around his son, and then those that are part of that entire structure, that sort of quote unquote energy company, right? I mean, there's a lot of things here that we just don't know, and we don't totally understand nor appreciate. And these are the kinds of issues that have to be resolved. I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, General.
No, I was just going to say that. I mean, there's such a lack of trust in anything, any of the reporting that's coming out of the mainstream media, Lou, which you know quite a bit about, and also I try to follow other media outlets. Like I try to follow what the Indians are saying, okay, the Nation of India. I try to follow some of these other European outlets to get a sense of what are they saying and balance everything. When you have China and India, okay, which represents about a third of the world's population, that are aligning themselves or staying out of this issue in Ukraine, in a funny way, on behalf of China or on behalf of Russia, we've got a significant problem. And it seems to me like the Nation of India, and I particularly pay attention to India, because India's Navy, a lot of people don't know, India's Navy was principally built by the Russian Federation, their ships. So, right. So there's two nations, China and India, which represent about 3 billion people, right? There's let's just say there's 7, maybe 8 billion people on the planet. I mean, these countries are not jumping on the bandwagon of the West and calling Putin out. I mean, what they're saying is they are telling us that there's legitimate issues in play. And so let's resolve these issues that are in play. And I think that they can be resolved very, very quickly, very quickly. And I'm not saying that that Ukraine cannot deal with the European Union, you know, in terms of economic development and trade. They may not want to, because I can tell you that the European Union, and for the most part, and then definitely NATO, I know NATO even better, but the criteria and the conditions that they have to join those organizations are very, very high. They're stringent. And there can be no corruption. There can be no you know, funny business inside of their governments, right? No dealing in sort of extra types of activities that are outside of what a normal government would do.
a cynic would say, General, that if they're going to be corrupt, they have to be very sophisticated about it.
Exactly.
And the Ukrainians are not. They are absolutely permeated with corruption. But on the other hand, so is the United States now, political corruption throughout our government, our federal government. And that plays a part too here. One of the issues that we have to examine in our national media, our corporate media, will not deal with it because the corporatists have so much money involved and a different interest. They are focused on global, a globalist future instead of specifically worrying about the nation, the national interest, and the national direction. And by that I mean, what is the relationship suddenly between Biden and Ukraine, Biden, and I'm talking about the Biden family as well as the president, and China? China actually put out a readout of that phone call last week with Xi before the United States government. Here is a communist totalitarian government putting out at least its interpretation as well as the readout of the discussion before the Biden White House could do it. This is wrong. And it is wrong for this president to simply go into the NATO meeting in Brussels and without any explanation about his vested interest and his son's vested interest in Ukraine and in China. Now you have two strategic partners, China and Russia, and you make a terrific point. With India, a third of the world's population, and they're aligned. India desperately needs the weaponry, the advanced and sophisticated technology of Russia. It needs that a coexistence with China, certainly. So those interests align against a bloc, NATO, the purpose of which was to stop war in Europe. And here we are. With a war raging,
we're calling. Well, if the crazy thing is that, and this is, and I'm speaking for myself, but having been in these various forums and work with these, you know, with many of these countries and work with these organizations, we are in a place where NATO is acting in a very offensive way. NATO is supposed to be a defensive, you know, if attacked, then you know, one attack, then we're all attacked, and we will defend our sovereignty, right? But we're now acting in a very offensive way where you have different countries in NATO that are providing weapon systems and arms and ammunitions and you know, and propaganda and cyber and all these kinds of things. That these are very offensive things. All this crazy talk about providing a no-fly zone. We have to give them a no-fly zone. And we have Republican senators calling for it in the United States.
40 of them.
These are people that don't. They don't fully understand. They do not grasp. And I'm telling you, they do not grasp what it takes to stand up a no-fly zone. Because in order to stand up a no-fly zone, you have to have, you know, absolute control of the air. And that means that you have to destroy anything that can range you from afar, right? Surface-to-air missiles is an example. So to get into the weeds and the tactics, those surface-to-air missiles can sit inside of Russia and knock out aircraft that are flying in this quote-unquote no-fly zone, right? So these are not simple, you know, things, and they're simple to say. They are nearly impossible to execute without making huge errors, strategic errors. And so we're in this place right now where NATO is acting as a offensive, you know, they're talking about offensive things. And so the interesting thing, and I think all your listeners need to really pay attention to this. I understand now that Biden is going to go over and be part of a NATO leadership meeting that they're going to have, probably because the previous representative that we sent, you know, Kamala Harris, didn't do such a hot job. She couldn't even read her notes about what she was supposed to say about where Ukraine geographically stands in Europe. I mean, my God. So
Lord help us.
No kidding. I mean, these are big things. Now the struggle in warfare, Lou, is that people make mistakes. And we see some of the rhetoric coming out of our own Defense Department about, well, if somebody uses chemicals, there's going to be a significant reaction to the use of chemicals, right? I mean, go ahead.
I've got to ask you. We're flying 90 sorties a day off our carriers in the Mediterranean, over Eastern Europe, right up against the Ukrainian border. This is, and these are missions are, is, you would well know the term, a deterrent activity, a deterrent sorties. They are, I mean, we're just ratcheting up the possibility of an engagement with a Russian aircraft, a jet fighter.
Right. A mistake. And mistakes are made in war, Lou, and sometimes they're unintentional. I will tell you that, my role in, when I was in the military, from the time I was a young officer until the time I was a senior officer, was to always put my feet in the boots of our enemies. That was my responsibility, to try to think like they would think. And I can tell you at the strategic level, you know, Putin is making sure that his leadership that are running the military operations are taking extraordinary precautions to not make a mistake where they inadvertently shoot a missile into Poland or shoot attack a NATO member country. He is, I guarantee. So if there's been some military tactical changes of leaders in the Russian military, and there's probably because he wants to make sure that the people that are in charge on the ground are doing exactly what he wants them to do. And that is one, is not to make a mistake and inadvertently attack a NATO member country. What I am witnessing from a battlefield perspective is a very, very excruciatingly painful operation to make sure that they only take what it is that they believe they need to take in order to control and in order to make a statement to the Ukrainian people and frankly to the world that says, look, we are not going to have a NATO member country abut the Russian boundaries, where there is the potential for nuclear weapons to be placed on the geography of that country, in this case Ukraine. And it gets back to the, you know, so the, it's a bit akin to the Cuban Missile Crisis, where we said we don't want to have nuclear missiles in Cuba that can range the United States of America. Well, now we know we have intercontinental ballistic missiles, right? So but Putin is basically sending a message saying, look, I'm okay with Ukrainian being neutral. And he has said that in his conditions. And I actually think that Zelensky has now, he has now said that. But now what we have to do is we have to stop the fighting and we have to make sure that we are absolutely clear on that. And so the discussion in NATO, the very interesting thing that's going to come up here with Biden, if he makes it across the Atlantic and is able to sit down with the NATO leadership, they have to be very clear as to what NATO wants to achieve with this. And it should be a defensive effort. It should not be an offensive effort, because if it's an offensive effort, that means that we're going to war, Lou, and we're going to have World War III. That's insane. And I'm going to tell you, there are people that are going to surround this issue, and particularly surround our own leaders, that are going to be pushing and pushing and pushing, like you see coming out of these defense think tanks in Washington, D.C., and many of these Republican senators as well.
The Republican Party has chosen to endorse an idea that would be considered, as he has already told the world, an act of war. When you have 40 Republican senators that are that ginned up to send our forces, because that would be the result of it, as we all know, to put our forces in harm's way without ever a discussion or even a suggestion of what is the national interest. And furthermore, we don't know what the precise relationship is between Biden and China. The readout from the Chinese made it very clear that the president doesn't want, will not support Taiwanese independence. It's an invitation to disaster. They have permitted the communist Chinese to militarize the islands that they, the artificial islands that they created in the South China Sea, without any response whatsoever. It is a terrible moment in time. And we have a president who we know, based on his son's laptop and its contents, and the cover-up that ensued from the discovery of that laptop, almost 2 years the FBI sat on it, And no one knows better than you the corruption of the FBI.
Yeah.
This is a terrible time. We have campaigns of disinformation swirling through this country. And first and foremost, it's emanating from the Biden White House.
Yeah, I think a couple of things. So because you brought in another very important geopolitical and geostrategic issue, and that's Taiwan and where China stands and what China may or may not do. One of the things that one of the sort of big outcomes of the conversation between China and the United States was that essentially Xi told Biden, clean your own house up, you know, clean your own corruption up before you start to talk about what, you know, Ukraine needs to do or what Russia needs to do or what we need to do as China. I mean, this is a slap in the face to the United States of America. And it's because we have an administration that is filled with you know, I mean, serious corruption. Look what we just learned about Hunter Biden's laptop just in the last few days. And then the quote unquote 50 plus intel officers 2 weeks prior to the 2020 election who said this was Russian disinformation campaign. Mm-hmm. Clearly Russian. And they all signed a letter off to that fact. Now we know it wasn't. Now we know it's clearly for real. And it's egregious fraud and crime against the American people and against our own government. So, you know, those are the kinds of issues that the Chinese and the Russians, they're already aware of this. They do their own intelligence work and they know inside of our government, you know, how bad things are. And that's essentially what Xi is telling Biden, you know, mind your own business and clean your own house up before you start telling us what to do over here. But you bring up Taiwan, you bring up the South China Sea, these islands that they've created, and China is posturing itself to basically be in the coming days, in the coming months, in the coming years, to be the world superpower, right? To be the big dog on the hill. Yep. And that's really, at the end of the day, the more money that we waste, the more billions and billions of dollars that we give to these countries, particularly like Ukraine, to what end? For what reason? For what purpose? I mean, to mire ourselves down in another unending war that the results of which, God help us with the leadership that we have in Washington, D.C. right now. And trust me for your listeners, the one thing that you can trust is there's neocons, meaning warmongers, on both sides of the aisle, on the left and the right. And these various organizations that swirl around in the Washington, D.C. swamp, they call for war because they benefit from it. Okay, they don't care the results of the war. They just benefit from it. Their pockets get fatter and fatter, you know, off of the likes of war, wherever war exists, whether it's flying missions along the borders overseas or whether it's putting ships at sea. You know, it's the more stuff that we can do. And there, like I said, there's warmongers on both sides because it benefits both sides. And it's just never ending participation in conflict that we can no longer afford. Our country can no longer afford it. We have our own damn invasion going on our southern border. For the last year, we've had almost upwards of 3 million people invade our own border along our southern border from 151 countries. There's only 184 countries on the planet, if I'm not mistaken, or roughly that number. And those are documented numbers, Lou, from our own government. Yeah. Our own government has said it's close to 3 million in the last year from 151 countries. And these people are not, you know, kind, gentle souls, right? These are many of these countries that people are coming from. These are criminals.
You know, General, I have to smile a bit when you said our own government. I've got to be honest with you, General. Our government saying something right now doesn't hold nearly the water it once did. I can't think of anyone who's lied any more than the FBI. I can't think of anyone that is in the agency that's more corrupt than the Justice Department. I can't think of anything that this White House does I trust. I literally trust nothing. And it's
sad. It's a sad state of affairs, Lou, for what it is that we are facing. I mean, we know that the whole COVID madness was one big lie. And I'm not saying that COVID doesn't exist, that a flu-like, you know, capability or disease was out there. Clearly was. But how we responded to it and how the government lied to us about all the various things.
Yeah.
So that was a big issue that lasted for 2 years. It shut down a third of our economy and, you know, businesses, particularly small businesses that will never return to their livelihoods that they once had. People are still reeling from that. The government is still, you know, the one thing, Lou, that they can't lie to us about, right? So the Department of Injustice, I call it, and the FBI, who had that, who had the laptop for well over 2 years, you know, the lack of clarity coming out of Europe from the mainstream media, the shutting, the censorship, the cancel culture that we have in social media. I mean, the one thing that this government can't lie to the American people about is the price of a gallon of gas, right? Your people are going to go to work today. They're going to leave work. They're, you know, whether they're carpenters, whether they're plumbers, whether they're builders, whether they're, you know, office workers, they're going to have to drive at some length to get to the office, to get to wherever their place of work is, and they're going to have to pay for a gallon of gas. Well, guess what, government? You can't lie about that, because it's now 3, 4, 5 times as much as it was when Donald Trump left office. I told somebody yesterday, when I got to where I'm at right now, I was paying $1.65 for a gallon of gas. I just filled up my car on Saturday, and it cost me almost $5 a gallon.
But so general,
you can't general. Lie to the American people about that. And I'm going to tell you, the American people, they are not going to stand for this nonsense, especially now that they're trying to get us into another war overseas. Give me a break. Sorry, Lou. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say to you, we've got to update that, because they figured out a way to lie about gasoline. President Biden said that it's a result of the oil companies gouging consumers. Now, there's no evidence of that whatsoever. And it's a direct correlation to the run-up in prices in crude oil markets, which is always a reliable meter for that, a metric. So, once again, we underestimate Biden.
The first shot across the bow when this administration came into office on the 20th or 21st of January was the first shot. And it was not just shutting down the Keystone pipeline, but this was one of the first acts that they performed. It was a message. It was a message to the energy sector, right? The fossil fuel energy sector of the United States of America, that your days are numbered. We're going to go to this green climate, you know, nonsense, really. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, the cost of everything is skyrocketing. So you're going to tell me that, you know, everything's going to be okay. No. So all this started well before, you know, you can't blame the energy sector when your message to the energy sector is, we don't like you. We don't need you anymore. And we're going to shut you down. Well, guess what? It's not just the energy sector and the big companies. It's a lot of little people, right? It's a lot of the American people out there, the middle income, the lower middle income.
It affects 60% of the economy.
Exactly. Exactly, Lou. I mean, exactly. It's everything. It's everything. It's not just 50,000 jobs that were related to the Keystone Pipeline. It's all the other ancillary types of things that happen, the second, third order effects of employment opportunities and growth that you can build around these kinds of issues, around these kinds of big industries that we do have in this country that we are now crushing. And so, you know, don't blame it on others. Look at yourself first. And I think that what we've got to do is the people of this country, like I said, you cannot hide. You can say, well, this is under investigation. That's under investigation. All these things, the media can lie to us. But the one thing that you can't lie about is you can't lie about the price of a gallon of milk or the price of a gallon of gas. And that's where it affects the pockets and the pocketbooks of many, many Americans who are now looking at our government going, are you kidding me? I can't afford to live anymore. I'm going broke. But maybe, Lou, maybe this is intentional. Maybe this is what these people in Washington, D.C. want to do. Maybe they want to drive us towards socialism. And like another person that we know, Mark Levin, who talks about American Marxism, right? Maybe this is intentional. And I think that to a degree, because nobody can be this stupid or this incompetent, Lou. Nobody. I mean, I think about how we exited Afghanistan, when I think about some of the conversations I'm hearing about Ukraine, I mean, people are not that stupid. They're not that incompetent. And so you have to start to say to yourself, are they intentionally driving us to war in Europe? Are they intentionally driving our economy into a shambles here, so they can basically say, like what's been said by other of these world globalists, that, you know, you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy, right? That's a paraphrasing slightly, but
they're trying
damn close.
Yeah, there's no maybe in it, in my opinion, General. This is straight out. It's not American Marxism, because there's nothing American about Marxism.
Right, exactly.
And with all respect to Mark Levin, this is an absolute campaign, coordinated, orchestrated effort to destroy America and everything it stands for. And that alignment is centered on the Democratic Party.
Yep.
I want to ask you, as we are getting close to the conclusion here, reminding us this week, the New York Times and the New York Post, famously, that letter from 50 veterans of the intelligence community, mm-hmm. signed by five heads of the CIA. I've just got to ask you, is there any appetite whatsoever to forgive those people, to excuse it, to have them on MSNBC, NBC, on CNN, and be in positions of influence and power, and people not understand this is bringing the intelligence service right into your television mm-hmm. networks, and deciding that you'll get your disinformation directly from a former head of the CIA that was complicit in the cover-up of the laptop and may have indeed affected a rigged election and created an illegitimate president.
Yeah, so a couple of things. So the people that we're talking about someone who was the head of the national intelligence system for our country. We're talking about former directors of the Central Intelligence Agency, former directors of the National Security Agency, which is our big signals intelligence collection, right? They listen to everything. We're talking about people who were former secretaries of defense, people who were formerly very, very senior, assistants to presidents of the United States of America, in particularly under the Obama administration. I mean, we're talking about some very serious people, as well as others who worked inside the Pentagon, who worked inside the Central Intelligence Agency, and worked inside of other intelligence aspects of our intelligence community. So these are not a bunch of wallflowers who wouldn't really know. These are people who would know. So 2 weeks prior to the 2020 election of Donald Trump, they're out there saying that this whole thing about Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation. Well, we've always known it was not Russian disinformation. We've always known it because it's so egregious. And even a year prior to that, Lou, we now know that the FBI had the laptop at least a year prior to that. So they knew all this information. And now it's suddenly coming out now that there's they are admitting that, well, it's not really Russian disinformation. It's for real, that this was Hunter's laptop. And yeah, he did a bunch of egregious things, and it's captured. It's all captured. So why? Now the question is, why all of a sudden is it coming out now? Is this another distraction to cause the American people to have conversations like we're having right now, to distract from some of these other bigger issues that are in play? Because this administration that we are dealing with right now is completely falling apart. There's no building back better going on in the United States of America. It's basically crushing the economic system, and it's crushing the confidence of the American people in any of the institutions that we have in our government, particularly the rule of law institutions, and particularly the intelligence community as an institution. And so I think what I would tell you is that the American people want to see accountability. We demand accountability, Lou. We demand it. And it's going to come one way or the other. And God help us if they don't do something about these intelligence community people that are going on the MS, mainstream media and talking about, and still Clapper the other day, still talking about it being Russian disinformation. I mean, that guy is clueless. He's clueless. And I know him. He is clueless. So we can't have our intelligence community out there, in these, and basically if they don't know something, then don't say it, but don't, don't try to, what they did, Lou, was they influenced and they disenfranchised a large segment of the population of the United States 2 weeks prior to a national presidential election. And they disenfranchised the country by coming out there and lying. And they all know that they lied.
And guess what? We celebrated by putting them in television shows, television networks, and giving them positions of influence. There was a time that the heads of the CIA and intelligence agencies would take on a job that was far less.
There was a time when they were pro-American, Lou. There was a time decades ago where these heads were pro-America. What they are right now is they're pro-leftist. And what does leftist means? It means driving this country into the ground and turning it into a socialist nation. And these people that are on the left side, that are in there's no Democratic Party anymore. It's now this Socialist Party of America that these people are driving us toward. And this is very real. It's very real. And these Republicans that are mamby-pamby Republicans that are serving right now, they need to stand up, step up, and speak up about what is happening to our country. And all I'm hearing out of them is that they want to take us to war. This is crazy talk. We cannot have this, Lou.
Romney is among those who signed that letter and started talking about a no-fly zone like it was a ride at Universal Park. These are ignorant, idiotic, self-aggrandizing, pompous fools who are representing the establishment. They suspended their intellects, whatever they had, and their integrity. It is no longer acceptable for the Republican Party to cater to these rhinos. They are Republicans in name only. They have no philosophy. They have no values that are even remotely fundamental American values. They could give a damn about truth and justice in the American way. And we are delighted that you have taken time to be with us today.
I'm going
to
give you the last comment. Thank you.
Last word. We give that to you every
time.
Thank
you. So this, I really appreciate it, Lou, and thank you for allowing me to speak to your great audience and everything you have done for this country. Here's a solution, because people always ask me, what do I do? You know what? Let's make the primaries in this country, because there's a lot of America First candidates running across this country. So let's make the turnout for voters in the primaries that are already begun in some places around the country, and they'll run into August. Find out when your primaries are. Find those America First candidates that love this country and are ready to fight for this country. Find those primary candidates and get out and vote for them. Don't allow the establishment to continue to reign, you know, this horrific political environment that we have. Let's get rid of these bums. Let's vote them out. So go and make the primary turnout. Get out and vote in the primaries. Get involved in your communities. Local action will have a national impact if you get involved at your local level, in your towns, your parishes, in your counties. That's where it matters right now. That's why our founders gave us, you know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But only if you participate in this form of republic government that we have. And that's my message to folks: is get out and get involved, and let's make the turnout in the primaries as big as we can make it. So God bless you, Lou, for letting me have a few minutes with your audience.
Well, General, God bless you. We appreciate it. And we thank you for everything you have done for this country and continue to do. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being here. General Michael Flynn, ladies and gentlemen, a great American. And what that man has been through is a national disgrace. We're going to be taking all of this up and more tomorrow right here on the Great America Show. I just want to say that at this point, never in my career, never in my lifetime, have I seen greater corruption in this country. There has never been a period like this in our country's history. And we have to understand that this administration is not working for America. This president is not working for America. Zelensky is a puppet in Ukraine, and Biden is a puppet in America. And it is straight up, straightforwardly so. With that thought, let's think kindly of one another. Let's do our very best to uphold the traditions and the values of this country. It's never been harder to know what to believe or whom to believe. That's in part because Russia and China and Iran and other countries are running disinformation campaigns against America and Americans that are more powerful and constant than ever before. And because our own government has lied to us throughout the past 7 years, as has the permanent bureaucracy, the deep state, and of course, the radical Dems who now control the White House, the Senate, and House of Representatives. And yes, the courts, the American Bar Association, and then there's the corporate media, our universities and colleges, the teachers' unions, the left. The left is control of our country. And we'll be taking up the left and its power over America in the weeks ahead. I hope you'll be with us each day as we together stand for truth, justice, and the American way. Tomorrow, here on the Great America Show, we'll be examining the new reports of a more transmissible variant of the Omicron virus and why the bad doctor, Dr. Fauci, is back in public claiming we will likely see a surge in cases in the United States. We'll have with us tomorrow one of the good doctors. Our guest will be Dr. Robert Malone. Dr. Malone has been a dissenter from the leftist authoritarians, and he has, more importantly, perhaps, been right and courageous. Please join us here tomorrow. Till then, God bless you, and God bless America.